You're listening to a podcast from York City Church. If you like what you hear and you'd like to find out more, please visit our website at www.yorkcitychurch.org.uk.
Okay, Jolie. Jolie is fabulous. And if you've had the opportunity to get to know Jolie at all while she's been here at uni, then you'll know that she's just life and joy and full of faith. And I think years ago, I heard someone at a men's conference speaking about how if you can relate to people of all different ages and stages of life in a way that's appropriate to them, for their age and stage in life. So in other words, if you can meet them where they're at and be appropriate to them, then you'll be doing really well and you'll be a super godly person. He didn't say super godly, that's me. And I feel like, Jolie, you do that. You model that really well. There's a few of you, it's like, wow, just I've seen some of you just, you know, engaging with kids and then with parents and then with like older people and everything. It's like you do that all with grace and meeting them where they're at. And I just think, I'm confident that you will have something to say to us that will do us good. So church, let's give Jolie a big warm welcome.
Thanks. Thank you. That was kind. Thanks. Good morning, everyone. Good morning up at the top. If we've not met before, my name is Jolie. Like Alan said, I'm one of the students here at York City Church. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a bit from Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. And then I'm going to tell you a bit about why it's been on my heart a little bit. I also haven't got my glasses on, so I probably can't read the words, which is why I've got it here. But here we go. Verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. To me, that's a bit of like a dun-dun-dun kind of moment. Like siblings, gosh, I feel like they bring out the worst in you, right? Now, I am one of five, so I definitely know that feeling. Actually, here we all are. This is us, the five of us. And I was actually going to tell you a story about my youngest sister. The awkward thing is she's now in the room. Sorry, I'm going to tell the story anyway. Not too long ago, my dad was building this kind of shared room in our garden. It was great. I loved helping out. I feel like I was there all the time. I had the best playlist. I was so helpful. And then one day, the lovely Elsie went to go and help out on this shared kind of garden thing. But when Elsie helped out, it was like, wow, look at Elsie. Elsie is so good. Daddy's little helper. You know what Elsie deserves? Elsie deserves a trip to Creams. Oh. The injustice that 13-year-old me felt. Gosh, I was a 13-year-old with like a sense of justice, and you can imagine I did not respond well to that. Anyway, we'll circle back to that in a bit. For now, let's think about Cain and Abel. Where do we find them in this story? Well, what's happened is they've just been kicked out of the garden. This garden is a picture of abundance. It's a picture of fruitfulness, comfort, and assurance. They're now outside of the garden, where there's none of that. They're kind of surrounded by uncertainty. And it seems immediately clear because they start behaving in such an uncertain way. So we come across these two brothers. That's what we've just read. They're making offerings up to God. Abel's is looked upon with favor, and Cain's isn't. And now while Cain's isn't looked upon with favor, it doesn't say he was rejected. It doesn't say that he was condemned and sent away. No, he's kind of left in this neutral sort of state. And actually what God does is God follows up in verse 7 and basically says, "Mate, like, don't worry. Your time can come. With the right heart, this can be yours too. This isn't an exclusive one-time offer. Your time will come. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? This is for you as well." Yet what we see is that Cain seems to struggle with a doubt of God's faithfulness, a doubt of, will God do what he says he will? Will there be enough for me as well? Cain seems to fear that he's not going to be included in on this gift. I think when we read this story, the story of like Cain and Abel, we kind of really quickly recognize the jealousy. Like, yes, Cain was jealous. And that's true, that's true. Cain was jealous. But what we kind of fail to see is the under root of that jealousy is this fear that there's not enough for him to, this fear that he won't be included. So my reaction to Elsie getting a trip to Creams, I can hold my hands up and say it was far from kind. I had some strong words to say, I'm sure my parents remember. But with hindsight, I can see that I was acting out of a place of fear, a fear of not being included in the love. And in my so obsessed with this fear of not having enough for myself, I actually totally forgot all that I did already have. All the times my parents had loved on me, lavishly, in similar ways and in different ways. What Cain and I both couldn't do is enjoy watching someone else prosper because we were too preoccupied, fearing that we wouldn't get our share. Now, personally, I feel like this must be a common feeling, like this feeling of not being included, this feeling of not having enough for yourself, this feeling of missing out on something. It's common. I've done it. The Bible characters have done it. But the danger of living in this fear is that we're left weak to the temptation of living without God. Now, I'm sure none of us are kind of luring people into the wilderness to kill them. I don't think we're doing that. But we do act destructively in relationships where we fear missing out on love, where we fear being left out or not getting loved enough. We tend to hold really tight to cliques. We'll hog friendships that we don't want to share. We don't want people to have in and spoil what we have. We gossip as currency and we hold resentment. It's horrible. At work, where we might kind of fear not getting recognized, not getting this promotion. We fear not getting the credit, so we might keep all the credit to ourselves. We might not share an opportunity that's come up because we don't want other people to take it from us. We look out for number one because that's what the world tells us to do, right? And then in life, we just fear running out of time in general. And so oftentimes, we'll prioritize ourselves. We'll get our list of things done. And it means that we're not there and ready and available to help other people. But does that really matter? I think when I say it like that, we can see how selfish all of this behavior really is. How it just totally is opposed to the principles that God gave us to live by. It just destroys the community experience that he totally intended for us. Like, God doesn't want this for us. So while that feeling of not having enough for yourself is totally normal, how we respond to it is so important. Now, we are called to live by God's wisdom and not our own. In the kind of first story that we kind of see humans interacting with God in the Bible, they're kind of confronted with this tree of knowing good and evil. And God says, don't eat it, don't eat it. Let me reveal to you what is right and what is wrong. Trust me to reveal to you what is right and what is wrong. God says to trust in him with all your heart and not to lean on your own understanding, not your own sense of justice, not your own sense of what is right and what is wrong, or your own entitlements. Those sorts of things seem to get us like totally caught up in the way that I was so rude to Elsie, in the way that Cain killed his brother. Thankfully, we've got a Bible that is filled with wisdom that guides us on how to do this. Jesus was the most beautiful example of what living free from this fear meant to be. And it was really great because I feel like Jesus recognized also the beauty in being the weak. In the Beatitudes open the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. If you haven't read them, go read them. They are really, really cool. But what Jesus says is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, blessed are the powerless. The good life belongs to the powerless because they have to trust God to make all things right. They have to trust God rather than relying on their own ability and their own strengths to kind of achieve a position. It is in God's strength, not their own. Obviously, this is much harder said. It's much easier said than done. We're slow learners, we're bad learners. If you know the story of Cain, you know that after this all happens, what happens is God has to send Cain away. He's killed his brother. But he blesses him by marking him with this protection. Yeah, out of this fear that protection won't be enough, that Cain needs more, he needs more. He has to go out and build a city to build his own provision, to keep himself safe. Cities end up becoming this destructive thing in the Bible. Cain's city is the first one. It's intense how bad things can go. So at the end of the day, all that we do have and all that we don't, all the gifts from God, whether that's love, whether that's time, whether that's resources and wealth, power, status, all of these things are gifts from God. And it is worth recognizing that with wealth specifically, actually we're not all on the same page. That kind of fear of not having enough might be really more significant and more prevalent in some people's lives, and that is true. But the truth remains that when we act out of a place of fear, the only thing that ensues is chaos. That is the truth. So the challenge for us, following all of that, the challenge for us is to just get good at recognizing when we're being led by fear rather than by God's wisdom. The challenge is to check your hearts. Check your hearts in the times of abundance and in the times of scarcity. What's leading you? What takes the control? Because the good life belongs to those who trust that God will make all things right. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that we can reflect on the wisdom that you provide for us in the Bible. Yeah, Jesus, we just pray. We pray for us as a church that we will be people that have your wisdom on our hearts, not the fear of what we feel we deserve. Yeah, Lord, we pray that we wouldn't be led by fear into destructive ways, yet we will act wisely in the way that you have called us to with the example of Jesus. Amen.
That was very, very, very good. Thank you. Wasn't that good? It's so good.